All right, everybody, thank you. Thank you for tuning into Dose of Reality Radio. You're listening to another episode with me and my co-host, Justin Cook. We have our special guest, Nick from New York is here today. And Nick was actually in Manhattan when the whole 9/11 thing went down. He wasn't there when the towers fell, but he was one of the good people that went down to go help out, you know? Because a lot of people, you know, supposedly went down just to go, you know, do their good deed. Maybe they could help get people out of the debris pile. Maybe they could go down and do whatever they could do, if they were EMS workers, whatever. To this day, you've heard a lot of theories from us. You've seen a lot of proof. You've seen a lot of proof of media fakery, which is one of the biggest things we're on now with as far as them showing fake collapse footages, fake planes, fake videos. Pretty much everything we were shown on TV was absolutely like a Hollywood production. And most of the people that listen to us all the time already know that. To some new people that Nick might have brought in, that's going to be a big shock. But I'd like you guys to hear Nick's story and about what happened when Nick went into Manhattan. And Nick actually didn't agree with me. A girl that we know, Connie, posted in a group a link to one of our shows. And it was called the 9/11, the 9/11 hoax uncovered or something. And he said, no, this can't be true. I saw hundreds of people walking covered with dust. And then from there, we went further and further. And, we decided to exchange phone numbers. And a lot of things that he saw didn't make sense to him that day. And they pretty much provided answers for a lot of the questions that we had about the actual techniques that were used in New York City. I just wanted to say that Nick isn't one of the people that's been on in our groups. He's not one of the people that's been following our research. This is all new to him. He's just a guy that happened to be in New York, and we finally got a Manhattan witness that saw some of the things that were going on in New York that day. And I just want to let Nick, you know, come on and tell his story today about exactly what he saw.
Brian, you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, Nick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sound good.
Yeah, sound good. So why don't you just start off of your day and just tell us, you know, when you first heard the news, where you were headed, what made you decide to go to New York, and while you're doing that, I'll get everybody a link up for a map for everybody to follow along. So why don't you start talking?
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, Brian. No problem. Yeah, my name's Nick. I'm from Long Island, New York. Pertaining to Manhattan, I've probably been going in there since I was about 12 years old, so I know Manhattan pretty well. On September 11th, I guess it was a little after 10 o'clock, I got a phone call from my father, and he told me about the Twin Towers collapsing. And I hung up the phone, and, you know, a lot of thoughts went through my head. But one of the main things was, if there was something happening in Manhattan, I wanted to know what was going on. I didn't want to be on Long Island stranded out there, not really knowing the truth. And, you know, then I also wanted to see if I could do something. You know, if it's really as bad as they're saying, I'm sure they could use a lot of people. But what they were saying on the radio was all public transportation was shut down. There was no subways. There was no trains. That's a lie. That wasn't true. I was able to catch a subway in there. And I don't know if you guys are looking at the map that Brian has yet, but right by the 59th Street Bridge, Queensboro Bridge, I was able to catch a train underneath it, a subway.
The map's in the chat, guys. Not to interrupt you, Nick, just so you guys know, all you guys know where our radio page is, obviously, if you got here. Right in the chat box, I just put the click in there for the, this is the blog we want you to follow along, and this is the map that Nick is referring to. You just click that link, and Nick, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, buddy.
Yeah, Nick, you had both lines on still. Your Skype and your home. I shut your Skype off on you.
All right, cool. Sorry about that.
Sorry about the feedback, guys. But guys, click the link that's in the bottom of the chat that I just left right there. I'll put it in the comment section too. That's gonna bring up a whole new page. You won't lose any audio. You'll still have this page, and you'll be able to follow along with the map as Nick tells you the streets he went down and everything. And all you have to do is hold control and hit the plus key on your keyboard, and you can zoom the map in one or two times. I find that helps a real lot. Go ahead, Nick. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Yeah, Brian, I looked over the map, and you have it pretty spot on. You know, the way you have the path that I traveled, it's really, really good. Anyway, I made it into Manhattan, right by the 59th Street Bridge, which is north of where the towers are. They're down closer to State Street, Battery Park. You know, it really is at the end of the island. Brian and I were discussing how long and how wide Long Island is. What was it, Brian? A little over 3 miles wide, and how many miles?
Yeah, it was like 2.8 or something, or 3.2. It's not that wide at all.
Yeah, it's not that wide at all, like he's saying. And I wound up, as soon as I came out of the subway, I maybe went around one block, I walked the block, and there was already a barricade there. Now, this is, like I said, quite a bit north of the towers. And I was on the opposite side where the two policemen were, and they were checking people's ID and just sending them all away. I wasn't going to have it. I decided to go on the other side of the street, and I just walked right through, and they gave them like a little nod, like I knew where I was going. And they just nodded back.
That's at this barrier that we have drawn here on the map at about right around, what, 42nd Street? This blue line that I have drawn across here?
I think you made a line for the barricade.
Yep, let's make sure we tell everybody exactly where you were. So sure. I made a blue line for the barricade. If you guys look at the map, it's right where, if you look at the water where it says East River, just look to your left and you'll see a blue parallel line. That's the barricade Nick's talking about. The blue line coming down is his walking path, and then that blue line going across is the first barricade he hit.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to mention was when I first got out of the subway, it was still a beautiful day. Sun was shining. You know, it was a warm day with a little bit of a breeze. So, you know, it was still really nice out. And I went past that barricade, and I started to zigzag, but go south. As I started doing that, I noticed a lot of the stores were closed. But nobody was around. The streets were really deserted. And like I said, this isn't right under the towers. We're talking, I don't know, maybe it was a mile, mile and a half, 2 miles. I walked for quite a while. I probably got in there around 11:30. The walking might have taken an hour. And as I got closer, Brian, this is strange. It began to get darker. And like I said, the stores by that point were totally abandoned. And another thing was, it got dark, and they had, I don't know what you'd call them. I mean, the only thing I could call them is, like, stage lighting set up. If you think about the lighting from a concert in Central Park, but not all the way up in the air, it was lower and not as powerful, but that type of lighting. And they weren't on the side streets, and I zigzag a little more, and I wound up on West Broadway. If you look on the map, Brian, it's by Brook, right? Is that where we circled it?
By Broom and Grand, I think.
Broom and Grand, that's it.
Yep.
So I really stayed in that area, and it was funny what I witnessed. Like I said, these streets were abandoned, but you can hear a little sirens in the background, something going on. I wound up on West Broadway, and the only thing I could describe it as, it almost looked like a parade. I don't mean any offense by that. I don't want anybody thinking I'm taking it lightly. But it's one of the only ways I could describe it. There were people on the streets, and it went from being nobody to the streets being full, hundreds of people on each side that I can see. It also began to get smoky over there. What was going on was vehicles were going north and south. I saw like some firefighters from Philly coming in, different areas. You would see some ambulances going there. And it was just down this one street. I think it's one of the, you know, main streets that goes right to the towers, if I'm not mistaken. If you look on the map, you could see West Broadway running north and south. And it was a strange day. I wound up standing right by a woman who is a reporter for 1010 Winds. That's a radio show, you know, radio station, one of those 50,000 watt. They're pretty powerful in the tri-state area. And I even helped her with the wires a little bit, you know, whatever she was plugged into. And I would learn what was going on through her reports because I really couldn't see the towers. I was far enough away where if I looked that way, it was just really smoky. And I'm going to go to when Building 7 went down. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm going to have to go back a little. Let me just tell this story before I forget. I guess it was about 4:45. And she started a report, and she mentioned that another building had just fallen down. What was strange, Brian, she wasn't reporting on what she was seeing. She was reporting on what was coming through the headphones. It was definitely strange to watch. But, you know, back then, I guess I noticed it because it was sort of strange. But, you know, there were so many things going on, it wasn't a big deal. But before that, I saw a lot of fire trucks coming out, a lot of, ambulances. But there were quite a few vehicles on top of flatbeds. And it wouldn't be what you expect. I mean, I was expecting to see things flattened and ambulances crushed, and there was none of that. They were coming out in regular condition, just with dust on them, with the dirt on it. You know, you could sort of feel the dirt in the air. It was that kind of feeling that day. But that's typical for Manhattan, to be honest with you.
But it didn't look anything like the dust cloud you saw on TV, did it?
Absolutely not. I didn't see that. That happened, it was hours before. I was in after that. But, you know, supposedly it was still burning and all that was going on. I was too far away, I would assume, to feel any heat. But, you know, I still question 110 stories, you know, two buildings. Even if you're 8 blocks away, I think you'd feel something, you know. Also, I saw no injured people. There wasn't any injuries. I saw people walking with dust and disheveled, without a doubt. I saw enough of that. But I didn't see anybody with their arm in a sling or anybody hurt. I didn't hear any ambulances coming out that were, you know, screeching around corners trying to rush people. It was all in that little procession, in and out, back and forth. Somewhere around... Oh, and again, the stage lighting, I don't want to forget this, it's important, the stage lighting on West Broadway was lit. So you were able to see everything that was going on. And, you know, like I said, there were people hanging out that just looked like locals. They were hanging to see what was going on. You know, I was in there. People had many different reasons. At one point in the afternoon, this is before Building 7 fell, it was a fire truck going by with guys hanging off it. One of them jumped off, and he just sat down in the middle of the side street where, you know, nothing was happening. There wasn't any, you know, many people. And I said, "Bro, you all right?" And he goes, "Yeah, I need a cigarette." So I walked in the middle of the street. I gave him a cigarette. By the way, there was also buckets of towels that if you want, you can hand out to people. So I handed him a towel also. And I said, you know, I said to him, "You okay? What's going on?" And he said, "We just started pulling out our own." Now, you know, I can't say actor, no actor, real person. You know, it could have been a real person. I really don't know. But that's, you know, that's what I saw. Go ahead.
Not to interrupt you, but not everybody would be involved in it if there was some sort of scam. Not every single firefighter is going to know about it. I mean, some of them could have got a call on their radio and really thought that they lost a bunch of friends, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
without a doubt.
I'm sure that happened a lot.
Yeah. You know, I still tend to believe, like you said before, that, you know, that there could have been people dead and more people injured. But, you know, to me, that's a little thing. If they pull this over on us and people believe in it, that's the least of our worries, you know? I think there's bigger issues, like the stuff you've been dealing with me. I got to give you credit. I mean, I could, you know, thanks for the passion in this. I never thought I'd be able to speak about it, and it was very strange. It's something that hasn't left me, you know? It definitely makes an impact on you when you see something of that magnitude.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Guys, make sure you click this link that I'm leaving. I don't mean to keep spamming the chat, but I want all you guys to open this extra window because Nick is describing street corners to you and everything that you can see, and I mark things out on the map. And, Nick, why don't you tell them about get back into Building 7 and how the reporter was, what she was doing and what you heard and what you saw. And then we'll get into a little bit more around that area.
You know what I want to mention, too? I don't know how many of the people in the chat and who are listening saw Brian's picture of the elevator, the buttons in the elevator. That picture is 100% real. I've gone to the observation deck in the Twin Towers, and I've been on elevators, and they're exactly like that. And they explain it to you, and they say, oh, there's other elevators for that. Those floors, you know, aren't finished, and they're doing work in there. So that's what we were told. So that picture's 100% real, Brian. But getting back to 9/11, like I said before, at about 4:45, she started a broadcast. Again, not speaking about what she's seeing, but she was getting it through her headphones. She was holding them to her ears, and that's how I found out about Building 7. She said another building just fell. She explained it was 7. I don't remember much else of what she said. And what happened was something really strange happened. You know, you guys are hearing about no victims, no victims. Well, I'm going to tell you, they use those words to me. And this is an interesting part to the story. It was about 8, maybe 8:30. I realized what I was doing there was absolutely nothing, and I'm getting nowhere. You have to realize, I'll backtrack a second, besides that first barricade that was up when I first got off the train, and again, that circled, I crisscrossed through these blocks, and there were other barricades also. I want to mention that. And there was, you know, police officers, military presence standing at these other ones also. And again, you just look at them, nod. Sometimes you don't look at them and just walk straight through. You know, I wanted to know. I wanted to know exactly what was going on. And like I said, about 8:30, I started walking away. I headed up north. And I came onto something on the left side of the street. And I could just, the only explaining is like a little triage unit. It was a tent set up. There was tables underneath it. There was one or two people there, you know, that were dressed like emergency workers, EMTs or whatever, stethoscopes around their neck, you know. Nice and clean, though, you know. They didn't look like they did much.
What time are we talking, Nick?
I would say between 8 and 8:30. Okay. You know, it just started to, you know, like get nighttime and dark.
Okay, yes, you're saying evening time that night. All right, trying to get a timeline for that. All right, continue.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so like I said, I headed north. It was about, let's say, 8:30. And over on the left-hand side of the street was a triage center set up. Like I said, they had tables inside. They had tables outside of it. It took up a whole corner. It's pretty big. And there was also a couple of wheelchairs, like two or three wheelchairs, and a couple of stretchers. But the funny part was, and I don't mean to laugh, I know that, you know, this is a serious subject, but there was a barbecue set up in the back. And there was somebody there flipping hamburgers and a couple of pieces of chicken. And I'm blown away by this. I mean, this is going on, and these guys are barbecuing. But, you know, I thought to myself, maybe it's for workers, fine, and coming back, we'll have to go back in. You know, I really, you know, made a million and one excuses in my mind. But in all actuality, it was two guys who looked like me, and they sat down and ate. And I wound up finishing their meal, flipping the burgers, because I was a chef for a lot of years. And when I first got there, they said, what can you do? Because I said I wanted to help. And I said, I don't know, you know, I could hand out waters or towels. You know, I'm a chef, so they just shoved me back there. I lasted there maybe 5 minutes. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to be flipping burgers, you know, when this just happened. This is getting me nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I went up to one of the EMT workers, and it's amazing what she said to me. This is going to blow your minds. I asked her, I said, where's the injured? And she said, there isn't any. And that's as far as the conversation went. She didn't want to talk any more than that.
Hold on, say that again. You said where are the injured or where are the
I said, aren't there any injured people? Isn't anybody hurt?
Yeah, this guy's working in a triage center, and there's nobody coming in. I mean, there should be, if 3,000 people died, you would think there'd be like 30, 40,000 people injured with bricks hitting them, or glass, or broken arms, or something. And he didn't see how many people did you see injured?
Anything, none. Even people like that are out of breath from running, twisting an ankle, small things like that. Like, that's where, you know, I would definitely expect to see at least, you know, farther uptown. If you're not, you know, if nobody's injured, that makes you really wonder, you know. Yeah, that's all I wanted to ask. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. you know, I thought about that because, like I said, I asked the question. And if she didn't really want to talk, she just said there aren't any, and that was it. And I said, okay, you know, you guys have a great night. And it was by one of the hospitals over there, because I saw signs of the hospital. I couldn't tell you which one. I know there's two right next to each other, and then there's another one. I'm not sure about that. But at that point, I found the Long Island Railroad, and again, they told us all that everything was locked down, and I took the Long Island Railroad home. One thing I will say, in reference to cell phones, they did block the cell phone calls, because when I was heading in on the train, we were talking about it on the train, and one lady, you know, I met a lot of people like this. My sister was in the building, my cousin's in the building, and she wanted to make a call. I went to my cell phone, and it couldn't go through. But remember, I didn't say this, but as I was getting on the train in the subway, underneath, like one level, I called my dad just to let him know I was okay, and it worked at that point. So, you know, if they were blocked, it wasn't for too long. Maybe it was just for the first couple of hours or something.
Can I direct you in a little direction here? You sure. Started to talk about the woman that was talking about Tower 7, and mm-hmm. you know. You described, you know, you were describing how she was, you know, taking cues from the headset and not really reporting what she was seeing. But not only that, did you hear anything come down at all?
Oh, you know, that's a good point. I forgot to mention that when she said that, now, if you look at where I wasn't 4 miles away. I was about a half, three-quarters of a mile, half a mile away. I didn't hear any buildings fall down.
No.
No, again, I'm not going to say it didn't, it did, what time. I'm not sure. All I know is what I saw that day and what I heard. And I didn't hear any excessive sirens going off at that time and, you know, stuff like that. You hear it travels far, right? You know, the sirens. I didn't hear it. I didn't see any additional smoke. And I want to say, the smoke wasn't like you had to try to wave your way through it and it was so thick. It was just, it's hard to explain, almost like a little mist, just little bit coming down the streets. I don't want to say smoke machine, but it's almost a good analogy. A lot like that. It was just little wisps of smoke. It wasn't, you know, but I definitely couldn't see down the street to the building. And, you know, for that matter, there could have been other buildings in the way where I could only see the top of it or none at all. It's funny when you're in Manhattan, you could be, you know, a couple of streets away and it just block out, you know, a big portion of the building. But that's basically what happened.
The other thing that I wanted to say is about the smoke. You also mentioned that not only was it like a smoke machine, but I mean, it was continuous for hours. It was like the same smoke. It didn't change.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that went on for quite a few hours. So did this procession down the street. That didn't stop.
What do you mean by procession? And why don't you get into, you know what, let's get everybody on the map so we're all on the same page here. Let's take a second. I want all you guys to go to the map because, that way we can point some things out to you here. I'm trying to put the map up on the I'm trying to put the map up on the website, guys. It's in the chat. If somebody can copy and paste it for me, or real quick while I'm doing this, hold on, I'll grab it. I apologize, guys. We were a little against the clock getting this set up here, but where are we here? Real News Online, Dose of Reality. Okay, anybody that looks in the chat right now, I'm going to drop a link in there. All right? I know most of you already might have already went over. Click that link. Everybody. Everybody click that link. You will not lose this page. It'll just open in a new window. It'll open in a new tab, okay? Now, just scroll down a little bit. And if you hold down your control key on your keyboard and hit the plus sign a couple times, you can zoom right in on this map. It gets a little bit blurrier as you do. But, I mean, this is the route that Nick took. Why don't you talk about, you know, your southern descent when you first got there and how, you know, you started to get through the neighborhoods and they were, you know, emptied out.
Yeah, that was really strange. It really
was. I
want
to remind you about that. I don't mean to send you in too many directions. I just don't want you to forget. You had so much good stuff.
Sure, sure.
I got a ton of notes from what you wrote, so, you know. If everybody can please go to the map. I mean, I took a lot of time in this. I drew out his the route that he walked, the cross streets he went across, the barricade he went over, and then we even got the, you know, where he was standing and where everybody was gathered looking at the trade center, their line of sight, and what they could see. If you guys just scroll to the bottom of the map, let's just do that for a second. Sorry to keep going, Nick. I don't mean to cut you off. But if
okay,
you just,
I'm following along with the map.
If you just scroll to the bottom of the map, look where the site of the World Trade Center is, guys. Do you see how easy this is to cordon off? People are under this impression that how could they pull off this scam in New York City with all these people? This is the tip of an island. I mean, this is a couple blocks. And there's not even any I don't know, but I don't think there's too many residences right there either. I mean, those would all be people that would be involved in something like this.
If I could cut in for a minute.
Go ahead, Dan.
Like I said, I was in the food industry for 30 years. But I took a summer off, and I had a little flea market booth, and I traveled, you know, in Manhattan. You know, I did 42nd Street and a couple other streets. Every day it would be something different. And on Thursdays, I used to, if you guys see the bottom of the map, in green is Battery Park. And I was right along the fence there with my booth, you know, with signs on it and stuff. And first of all, just as a little side note, the Staten Island Ferry comes in there in the morning every 15 minutes with 250 people. That's just one thing. Forget about all the subways underneath it. To give you an idea of how many people should be in that area at 8:45, you know, people are just rushing to get to those buildings. So what I saw when I was in Battery Park looking north, it felt like the World Trade Center was right across the street.
Uh-huh.
To give you a perspective of how it is in that area, I mean, that's because it's a big building, though. Off to the left, there might have been a little housing, but the rest of it is all business.
Yep.
Yeah, on the other side is South Street, Seaport,
yeah, exactly.
You know, big tourist area.
Me, you, Justin, and a couple of the callers could go down there and seal that little street off. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Sure.
I mean, you, it's not that big of this operation that everybody thinks, and like you're saying, if they're running smoke machines or what looked like might have been a smoke machine, that would easily obstruct everybody's view. And I just want to say something, and I want to let Justin comment on this too. Justin, these are things we've been speculating, you know, the techniques that were used, and we didn't really put this out in the public forum at all. You know, I mean, we talked about some of the things, but like the stage lighting, and I've never heard anybody say triage center. We've never said any of this. This is
right.
Just a guy, a regular guy coming along telling us, and this is going
right
along with pretty much everything we thought happened. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, for the most part, you know, it's, you know, there's some questionable images out there. There's some, you know, where it almost, you know, where you kind of see that stuff, but no, as far as like us including it to, you know, we haven't really included it as being, you know, a major thing about, you know, it's something that, yeah, it does make sense as far as how you would, you know, make the area invisible to people or whatever. You would need some type of smoke machine or something, you know, just to keep, you know, just the way it looked too, like, you know, just, it just makes sense that a lot of these little details. And kind of, you know, if we're thinking they sequestered, you know, that part of Manhattan, well, you know, this kind of makes sense of where there was a barrier and where there was another barrier or whatever else, and only certain people were, you know, allowed, you know, and here's another thing too. I don't want anyone to think that that I think no one was in there. I think that they just got everybody out of soon that lived in those high risers around there and whatnot. And for the reason of, you know, it was very simple just to say, hey, we might be expecting another plane. So, I mean, it's not.
Yeah, once the first plane hits, you can do whatever you want. You can close the ferry. You can close the airspace. You can close whatever you want. You can cordon off any street.
Right.
But let me make one point, guys. And you guys can all verify this, okay? Anybody that's doubting any of this can verify this in their official propaganda. If you go and look at the Naudette Brothers film, which is called 9/11, and it's one of the official propaganda films that they put out, and it's about you they go down to this gas leak at 8:45 a.m. and then at 8:46, supposedly the plane hits the tower, and they just zoom up, and you know they get the perfect shot of the plane, right? But all the blocks around the World Trade Center are totally empty. Where's all the traffic at 8:45 on a Tuesday morning, Nick? Where would it be?
That's a good question. Where would it be? Would be all in that area, especially. You know, you're right.
There's
there
nothing.
By the New York
There's
Stock
nothing.
Exchange,
it's
the World
in their
Trade
own movies.
Center. You know, I mean, if you go through the village, you might find little streets that have nothing doing on them. But in an area like that, you know, there's a lot of hustle and bustle, and the way they use the subways and, you know, all the buses coming in, it's thousands of people in that area. But you're right, they could just block that ferry. They did block it very easily. I saw it, and it was amazing how far north they went blocking off streets. And you know, what made me notice initially, it shows you how you could miss things. How I noticed initially that the stores were closed, I wanted to get a bottle of water for me. I didn't want to take what they had, and I was going to go get, you know, a little snack or something. And just everything was closed. And I took a little time, you know, searching, and I finally found one store that was open. And now that's amazing for New York. It's a 24/7 city. Something's always open, more than one. You know, the city never sleeps, like they say. But that day, it sure as hell looked like it was sleeping.
And are you talking like where inside the?
He's talking about
the question.
He's talking about if. Do you have the map up, Justin? Justin, you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you off and on. But do you have the map up right now?
No, I don't.
Okay,
I'm familiar with the area, so.
Okay,
you,
well,
like,
he came down. For everybody that's looking at the map, if you look at the blue oval circle that's on the right-hand side of the map, just to the left of the East River, I wrote the words darker in there. And that's where he said it started to get a little bit darker, and that's where all these shops were emptied out. When he was making his southern descent down towards the towers, you know, coming way down, what is that? Is that 2nd Ave? Or I can't even read it when it's... So far,
no, I'm looking
in.
Over here too. I mean, I crisscrossed through a lot of them. I don't
know
exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of streets.
Yeah, and also, I might not have said it to you, Brian, but a little further south, even right up to where I was, everything was empty. And on one or two side streets, you could see these. You know, again, I use the words stage lighting, and they were off. So those streets were darker. But, and remember, we're talking during the day, and it got dark down there, which was really strange. That was really weird. And then as I finally got to West Broadway, you could see the smoke. But, yeah, in that whole area, even going north, the whole circle, it just everything was dead, closed. Even, as a matter of fact, and I didn't mention this to you, Brian, I felt comfortable walking in the streets because there were no cars. I mean, I'm not going to say 100% dead. You've got a car here and there. People walking here and there, but it's not what it was supposed to be.
And did you what about what you saw with the EMS vehicles being towed in and towed out, and what you saw on them?
Yeah, you know, I have to say it didn't look like they were rushing in. I'll say that. It was just a steady stream, faster than the parade, of course, but. It wasn't like they all had their sirens on. You'll hear the occasional horn on a fire truck. They love to do that, though, you know. The firemen do that Christmas Day. Whenever they want to go through a red light, you know.
Right.
But that's what was going in there. And like I said, coming out, there was no crushed vehicles. Not one did I see anyway. I can't, you know, vouch for any other street. But the little fiasco that I saw, there was nothing coming out and no injured. There were firemen coming out and EMT workers and different people like that, police cars coming out. But I didn't see anything dented up or damaged. Not like that picture where you see the bus just completely bombed out and all that. I would imagine I would have seen worse if it was like that. That's why I question a lot of those pictures and a lot of the videos that, since I've spoken to you, what is it now, only 12 days, Brian, right?
Yeah.
Since you and I have had contact, you've sort of opened me up to something new here. It's not a new theory for me. I've heard of it, and I always rejected it.
As most people did.
Right. But because I had questions of the day, over what I saw, I was a little more open to it. And it's just been an amazing ride for the last 12 days, having these things being revealed to me. It answers a lot of questions. It brings up a lot more in my mind, but it sure as heck answers a lot of questions for that day.
And not only that, Nick, you're a guy that lives in New York, where you around, I'm not going to say exactly where in New York, but you live in the metropolitan New York. And
yeah, I'll say it. I live on Long Island, and I'm about 40 minutes, let's say, by car, right around 35, 30 minutes by train. I'm very close.
And once again, how many people do you know that have told you they know somebody that have died that's a direct relative? Isn't it always an uncle or not even an uncle, like a cousin of an uncle?
It's funny you mention that. I've never heard someone say, my sister died there or my brother died there. I've heard things like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend's sister passed away in there, and I have to say, in New York, it's not a subject that's spoken about. It's spoken about with reverence, while we're being laughed at by the government. They think it's funny.
Oh, yeah, they get a kick out of it because this is just a big, huge scam that they pulled off on us.
Yeah, and the military presence in Manhattan hasn't really gone down. They just got everybody used to it. You could go in there now and be put against the wall and frisked. I was in a McDonald's. I don't know if I told you this, Brian. I was in a McDonald's. The police came in, or whatever group they were, they came in, blocked the doors, and everybody had to walk out and show their ID. So that's how it is in Manhattan now. It's not a joke anymore. New World Order is taking place before our eyes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I want to make another point, guys. I'll throw a little video up on the site after for you guys to watch. I'll just throw it in the chat right now, and you can take a quick look at it. It's only 2 minutes. It's not too distracting. I can keep talking while you watch it. This same thing was going on everywhere. At the Pentagon, where all these people supposedly died, Arlington hospitals where, they would all be rushed to, and if you look at this video that I just posted, you got a bunch of people out there standing in scrubs doing nothing. There's no ambulances pulling in. They even admit that they have no bodies there. They have no victims. How are there no victims at triage centers in New York? How are there no victims at the Pentagon? I'll tell you how there's no victims. I mean, just look at some of the images that we have. I mean, we could start with, and this is going to be, most of the people in our group are very well aware of this, but if you scroll down a little bit past the second map and just look at the two images of the plane stuck in the building, the first two images, can you really honestly, in your own mind, turn even to your child and say, hey, this is a real picture? The World Trade Center doesn't even look like that, Nicholas, doesn't it? Doesn't it look more glassy? And every time you see one of these 9/11 pictures, it's got this like grayish, almost glassless look to it. And these two plane pictures, for me, I mean, that's it. I mean, I decided to forget to go, all the other routes. Let's just go the media fakery route with this one girl the other day. This is a girl I went to school with, okay? And she's not into any of this stuff, okay? So she tells me her friend's cousin died on 9/11. And when she gave me the name, since doing all the research we have, I knew exactly who he was, where he lived, and I knew, because he's from our city too, obviously, so that helped. And I knew what plane he was on, and he was on Flight 175. Well, just look at the picture of Flight 175 right there, underneath the big map of the World Trade Center complex. I mean, it's an absolute joke. The thing's halfway stuck in the building, and the building's not even broken. That's not real video. We were shown fake video, just like people in New York were shown fake staged Hollywood-type scenes or Broadway-type scenes, I guess would be a better term. We were shown the Hollywood style. And what was seen in New York and what was seen in Manhattan on TV, they did their best job to not... What they did is they made sure that there was no amateur footage that came out of there so people could compare it to each other. But for somebody like Nick that was actually on the ground and got to see some of these things, we get to get a little much better perspective on it. You know what I mean?
You know, since you mentioned cameras, there might have been one or two people I saw with a camera. I don't remember any pictures being taken, though, during the day. Also, I didn't see anybody taking videos. But again, I was just in one area. I mean, other things could have been happening on other streets. You know, I'm positive it wasn't just one street where vehicles were going down. But it was a strange day.
Yeah, I got a message in the chat from Shane Kimmins. Or the Pentagon was CGI. And we do think it was very possible that there was some Pentagon at the CGI. There was definitely some CGI at the Pentagon. I don't know how much, but I'll tell you this. There's a report of Shepard Smith at the Pentagon talking about, you know, it's 9/11, it's 11:30 at night, we don't know how many are dead, there could be 300, there could be 600, yada, 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 yada. And if you zoom in properly and look at the roof line of the Pentagon, it's not even damaged. So that either tells you, A, it was a pre-recorded interview and the thing was totally set up, or B, they just acted like they put holes in the Pentagon. They might have just... Some of these buildings, guys, that were damaged were just covered with tarps. I mean, we don't even really know the extent of what happened down there. Like the other buildings outside the complex, you know? It's such a deception for people to think it couldn't happen. Just look at the map. Look at the tip of the island, you know? Now, Nick, you said you tried to use your cell phone, or you tried to let somebody use your cell phone around what time?
Yeah, I guess that was, I would say between 11:30 and 12. It was on my way in to Manhattan, and it didn't work. She tried numerous times. You know, she was freaking out on the train. I mean, everybody was, it was a real emotional day, let me put it that way. You know, I mean, like I said, I was, you know, pro-George Bush and let's go get him. And I fell for a hook, line, and sinker that day. You know, I remember thinking to myself when the fireman was there, I said, man, he can't handle it. I wonder what's going on in there. So I was, you know, right in there with the let's go to war stuff. And I look at it now, you know, and all we do is go into other countries and take their resources and try to control them also. So, you know, I'm becoming awakened to a lot of these different theories. Some of the other ones I've known about for a while. But, you know, taking 9/11 this far is, you know, new to me. And I thank God I've taken a look at it. Because a lot more things I saw now make sense.
Somebody in the chat asked if you remembered hearing an airplane flying low. But you would have been there too late anyways for that.
Yeah, I was there too late.
He didn't get there till what, like noontime, right?
Yeah, a little bit after, probably 12:30 or so.
But you did mention that to me. You did mention that to me, guys. Nick. You told me that, you know, if those planes really did fly that low and smash into the buildings, there'd be so many people talking about it. And the only people that you guys hear talking about it at all are people that are in the media. I mean, literally, there was like one person, allegedly, that wasn't in the media. There was like 49 people that say they saw the second plane. Let's just, for you new listeners out there, right, let's just do some basic math. Let's just be logical. If we can just put aside all the fear and all the 3,000 dead and everything they've told us, right, if 3,000 people died in those buildings, That means 47,000 people made it out. If 50,000 people really worked there, like they said, right? What are those 47,000 people doing? They're all looking up at their building on fire. How did they all miss the second plane come in? You know what I mean? How?
Brian, to go along with that, most of the people I'd met, and yes, I have met people that have said so-and-so died and this and that. More than likely, though, I usually run into people that say, my sister was supposed to go in that day, but she decided not to go to work. How many times I've heard that, I can't tell you.
I heard the same thing, too, many times. Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. I hear that more times than I do the other stories. I even remember I worked in Flatbush, and I had a friend in the city. Sometimes I would sleep out there and then go to work and go on the subway to Flatbush. It was the 2 train. I worked at a catering hall in there, and one of the things, the Twin Towers, the 2 train has a stop directly underneath the Twin Towers. That's the one that goes to the Trade Center. And I was on there about 6 weeks after 9/11, and it was fine. It was fine. And that took me aback a little bit. I was like, this was supposed to be totally ruined, and things fell. You know, where did all the 110 stories go? Well, they went into the ground. I don't know about that they went into the ground theory, because I didn't see anything. And, you know, the subway goes really deep. There's layers and layers, you know. But this had to be one that was further up. It had a train on it. It didn't even damage that. And I'm not saying it was perfect. In a lot of the subways, you see a couple of bricks out, you know, different things. They look a lot better than probably you guys can imagine, unless you've seen some recent pictures. But they're pretty nice now, especially in that area. And like I said, there was no damage to it. I will say one thing, though. There was a really, really hard, strange smell under there. But besides that, you know, I don't know what else to say. I think we've covered a lot of it, guys.
Yeah, no, I think you have. Let me just go through my notes here for a minute here, because I don't want to miss anything. You know, you did stress to me, and like I said, I didn't want to, I never once even tried to put any ideas in your head about any of you. You told me all this. I mean, you stressed several times how what it looked like was a TV show, or stage lighting, or what you would see on the TV, or in a movie, and that just really took me back a lot when you said that. Really,
Brian, the funny thing about that is I didn't want to use those words.
I know, and I told you.
You think I was another crazy person.
No, Mike, you need to use those words. Those are the words we used because that's what they were. But that's what you naturally said. You started to say it looked like stage lighting to me, and then you hesitated, and you didn't want to say it. And you even told me you didn't want to say it. That's exactly what happened. Exactly.
And you, like, sort of say, come on, just say it. I know what you're going to say. And this is the first, Brian, you're the first person I've met that's, forget about the research you do. I mean, you know, I'm going to say it. I mean, I really appreciate your passion for this. I might have said that earlier, but, you know, it's amazing how on fire you are. I mean, I'm going to say, too, it got me just as pissed off as it got you. You know, even a couple of years ago, of course, one thing that opened my eyes was Loose Change. Don't we all stumble across that?
Yeah.
But, you know, then it stops right there. Okay, so we know a little man in a cave didn't do it. We know our government's involved. And, yeah, I'll say it. You know, that's how I feel. And looking at the facts, it seems like that's what's going on. But to take it to this level, I think people deserve to know the truth. I think we're doing the people, if there was injured, we're doing them a service. By exposing things like this. We're not doing an injustice and disrespecting people. It's the exact opposite to me. They, you know, people deserve to know the truth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we do have a question in the chat that I'd like to bring up to you from one of our good members, Lori. She asked if, you know, did you see people walking and running away covered? I already know the answer because you told me this. She said, what about the people walking and running away covered in dust? Did you see any of them and how many? We saw hundreds and hundreds. She said, we saw hundreds on TV running away. And you said you did see him, but you didn't see it like it was on TV. It was different.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question, Lori. I'm glad you asked that. When I was on Long Island, before I went in, and it was right by the 59th Street Bridge I was, Queensborough Bridge, and there's subways underneath it. I was up where the bridge led off, and I saw a couple of hundred people, all in one tight group, coming up.
Nick, did we lose you?
I think we lost Nick, yeah.
Yeah, you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you now. We got you back. That's fine.
Okay.
What happened?
I was right. Okay. So I was right there by the exit to the 59th Street Bridge, and I saw a couple of hundred people there, and they were covered in this dust stuff. You know, in that group, there might have been someone holding their arm in a sling or something like that. And, you know, one little side note, a funny thing. The stupid politicians are out there handing out waters and towels. The politicians, to show how good they are. That just blew my mind.
Of course, they always got to make those appearances. Giuliani and Pataki and, you know, and I'm sure all these other ones. And if you think about it, it's like they're some of the biggest perps of that day, you know.
Yeah.
And remember also, it was an election day in New York, if you guys remember.
Exactly.
Oh, I do remember. And that gave them the precedent to close down a lot of bridges and schools and stuff, didn't it? Like ahead of time to not make it suspicious.
Oh, sure. A lot of things
They had some mayor things going on, like mayor conventions, if I remember correctly.
Now, that I don't remember offhand, but I remember that it was an election day, so a lot of things were closed to begin
with. Yeah, it was the primary election, I believe, wasn't
Nick,
it?
Nick, people are asking if you got down to Ground Zero, and you didn't. Guys, again, right below the chat, it says, here is our interactive blog for you to follow along tonight. I just added it. You just got to refresh your chat page, okay? And it'll be written right below the chat. If you just click that, it'll open up the, you know, our interactive page for you to follow along. And as far as I believe, I don't think Nick saw any body parts anywhere or any injured people. And he was in a triage center trying to help. And they had him flipping freaking hamburgers.
No, you're exactly right, Brian. It was really, I was upset. You know, I thought that was just ridiculous. They couldn't find something better for me to do. I mean, I'm there. Able-bodied guy, I just want to give a hand. I don't need to make it down to the site to give a hand. There should have been people all over injured.
All right, guys, we had a little audio issue with Nick. He's going to call right back in on his host. Nick,
Like I said, the whole thing didn't make sense. It was just a crazy day. But those people coming across the 59th Street Bridge coming back to Long Island, that was quite a sight to see. You know, before I got in there. But nobody talked. There was nobody talking out of that group. They did have, you know, some of them had a shocked look on their face. But they were doing the speed walk over the bridge to get the heck out of there.
And they were, the people covered in dust, those are the people that were the actors. I mean, those are the type of people that they would hire to do this. And we've seen so many of these videos, and I know you probably haven't gone down this road yet. But I know Justin has, and other people, like the one with the African woman and the black guy walking out of a doorway that you can't even tell what it is, and they're covered in dust, and that's the only video you see of anybody. Guys, let me ask you this: if you're in New York City, right? Sorry, guys, Nick's connection's a little iffy up and down. If you're in New York City and I totally forgot my thought, Justin, you got anything? I forgot what I was gonna say.
I really don't as far as that. I mean, the only thing I was thinking of too is, you know, 50,000 people that were supposed to be there. A big thing is we haven't seen anything of where you see 50,000 escaping from the towers or anything else. I mean,
that's what I was
going to
talk about.
Note,
There's not a single video out there of people exiting the towers. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people streaming out of these towers, and there's not one video of it out there. Not one. You guys won't find one. That would be the most dramatic news shot of all time.
Think about the bridge I was watching for a minute. It wasn't hundreds of people. Like,
what time? You know, Lori wanted to know what time it was. The bridge. What time were people on the bridge?
11:45, somewhere around there, between 11:30 and 12. I would think it would be a long stream of people. You know, maybe not as wide as it was end to end, because it was, but you know, at least a steady stream, and it wasn't like that. I saw no people, not another group behind them. But I guess, you know, I guess I was under the impression that everybody was out. But what I saw just didn't go along with what they showed on TV, at least. Oh, and I didn't make it to Ground Zero that day. I went quite a few months later and checked it out, and it was already all cleaned up.
What about, you know, that video I showed you today where it was all cleaned up the next day?
Yeah, that just doesn't even make sense. I mean, you know, if you think about it, the amount of stuff that fell down, bricks and desks and just everything, you know, the floors themselves, how can they do that cleanup that fast? I had a friend who said he went down there and was part of the Bucket Brigade, but not the most reliable. You know, I'll be honest with you, a lot of people just straight up make up stories,
and
they can't be believed. You know, my friend, this is just a little fun side note, my friend is one of those guys that'll dress up like an MTA employee because he found some card, you know, and he'll act like he works there. So, you know, you can't trust everybody. It's just like you can't trust everybody that makes a video. But right. The stuff you've shown me is pretty amazing. I saw the one where it had the Twin Towers side by side, and on
that's on the blog right now for everybody to see too.
I've never seen the building look white like that. It was just so strange, and I've seen it from different angles. You know, when you go in the city, Long Island, either through the Midtown Tunnel or across the 59th Street Bridge, different places, you can see the whole skyline. And even on a sunny day, it doesn't look white like that. That was the one that's real telling for me.
No. Oh, yeah. It's another one that's real telling for me. If you guys go to the interactive blog that we have, go right below the layout of the Trade Center complex, then there's the two plane pictures. Scroll down to the next really, really large picture, and you can see that the north face of the tower that looks really white is completely in sunlight. But then in the next picture, it's completely in shade. And they both have the plane coming in from the south. And it's like which one is it? You know what I mean? How can it be both? How can both images be real? You know, they can't be. There's even images and videos of Tower 2 on fire where the smoke's white. And then in other videos, the smoke's black. And what about all the videos with all the different colors in the sky that you said, Bob, that you noticed yourself?
Are you speaking to me?
Yeah, I'm speaking to you. You said, what about that kind of threw you off, seeing all the different backgrounds in the video.
I'm surprised I didn't notice that 10 years ago. You know, that's amazing. The way the backgrounds are different.
The Verrazano Bridge as well, too. Just the whole thing about it. Like, when you're looking at it, some of it's cut out. Some of them it's there. You know, it just... Some they included the background. Some they did. They forgot about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, what we're going to do right now is... What I'm going to do is... See, the way people work is they hear something on the news and they repeat it. And you can't blame them. You were brought up that way, you know. And now most of us know better than that. But what they did is, you know, they had this guy. A lot of you guys know who he is. I'm going to say right now, the Holly guy. But for those that don't know who he is, he was interviewed by Rick Leventhal from Fox News on 9/11. And you know how they have the crazy story of how the jet fuel melted all the 84 support columns and the buildings just came down evenly and they came down in an hour. Like, who could even believe that? I mean, a lot of people do, but the way they put it in the public's mind, about an hour after it happened, you already have this guy in the street He's supposed to be just this regular guy, not like this, mad physicist or anything, or construction guy or whatever. And listen to this staged interview. This is an absolutely, totally staged interview. And you'll hear how they put it in the public mind. They put it on the news, and then you're like, oh yeah, all the jet fuel melted all the steel. Just listen to how much of a liar this guy is. It's a 3-minute clip, and I'm going to play it right now.
A building which is 5 blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing.
Rewind it maybe and play it over again, though.
All right, guys, we're going to start it over. You guys hear it?
Yes, it's loud because we don't talk over it.
Yeah, it is low, so just turn up your volume now, guys. 3 minutes.
5 blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the
plane. It was like a movie. They always say that, too.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just scream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Obviously, there were a lot of people inside the buildings at the time.
From the 7th Precinct, the 1st Precinct, the fire department right here, the 7th truck, those guys were all right there at ground zero when those things went down. And God bless, I know there's a lot of guys there that were around there, and hopefully they made it out.
What was happening around you and the streets around you as this was all going down?
Absolute pandemonium. From my viewpoint up 43 floors, I could see people running like ants, just absolutely scurrying for their lives. Billows of smoke coming through the streets, just walking down the street, just pushing everybody back. And then several minutes after, it looked like it had just snowed over the entire area.
Yeah, the debris, the soot was thick on the street. There's still a dusting of it out here. But when I was standing here and the towers collapsed, we saw police officers running for their lives, screaming, get back, get back, get back. And I'll tell you, that's a wake-up call when you see cops running for their lives. And people, too, women's pushing baby carriages, that sort of thing.
Well, you had the first tower first. That one, when that first went down, it just pushed everybody back. And it was a good 15 minutes before the second tower finally collapsed. Yeah. And it was just overwhelming. And by that point, it was just insane.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of similar stories from people who were inside the building. One gentleman we spoke to earlier today, John, was on the 77th floor and said it was a relatively orderly evacuation at that point after the first plane hit the first tower. Everyone going down the stairs, not a lot of panic. But when they got to the 6th floor, he says they felt a second shake. And then people started to really be concerned. Obviously, there were people in the building at the time of this, and some of those people, they haven't recovered them yet. And that's a big issue right now, is trying to get the rescue workers and the emergency crews to the building. There were police officers there and emergency crews there when this was all happening, and they were right at ground zero when it all went down. So can we talk to you? What's your role out here right now?
I'm just standing by right now. Can't say what role I'm in.
Yeah, that's about all we need to hear from him, guys. I mean, it's quite obvious that guy's agenda. I mean, who even talks like that? And he ended up not being a regular guy off the street. He was a freelance reporter for Fox. You know? And this stuff doesn't come easy. Can you guys hear me?
Sounding good.
Okay. Are you guys, are the people in the chat, let me ask you guys in the chat, are you guys looking at the blog? Are you guys following along the blog? Because I need to show you guys some things here. If you guys aren't, it's right below the chat. If you just refresh the page, if you haven't already, there's a link that says to follow along with the blog. And I want to show you guys some of these images. Never mind the planes. Okay, we've gone over the planes and everything so many times. But for people that think that maybe there weren't, you know, it's impossible that there couldn't have been people in the building. I mean, look at some of the pictures of these jumpers. I mean, just scroll down. Look at the guy that looks like Bruce Willis coming out the building. Does that look real to you? Does that look like a real guy with no shirt on jumping out of the World Trade Center? Or these two people holding hands with their feet on fire? How do they get 70 feet out from the tower? If you jumped off the tower, I understand maybe you would go out a little bit, but you wouldn't go out that far. You'd pretty much go down the side of the tower. You guys still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep,
I'm here.
We have the Richard Allen firefighter photo. I mean, that one's just ridiculous. If you guys scroll down a little bit more, we're told that these two separate firefighters died on 9/11, and they have the same name. All they did was change the middle initial and throw a hat on one of them. And the guy actually has like a distinctive either tattoo or barcode or something actually on his face. And he's in two different, he's in the memorials as two different people. And then if you scroll down some more, I don't mean to have you keep looking at a million images, but look at how much alike these firefighters that we're looking at here, these aren't supposed to be two pictures of the same guy. These are supposed to be two different firefighters. How many sets of five of these guys that died do you think look like twin brothers? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. On one of them, on this Salvatore guy, in the bottom left corner out of the eight of them or whatever, you can see they just flipped his face and gave him a new name. And they did this with the victims, too. Scroll down some more on the blog. Look at the victims. Look at the pictures. Just take a look at the guy with the glasses on the left. Look at the background behind him. Look at his glasses. Look at the way the light is glaring off his left lens. Look at the picture on the right. Is that not the same picture? That's the same picture of him. But now there's an arm around him. And that's that little emotional effect. The same thing with the girl to his right. Look at her picture. Look at the picture next to her. It's the same picture. It's unbelievable. Some people will try and write that off as saying, oh, well, you know, when you smile, you make the same face all the time. I mean, these people are wearing the same clothes with the same hair strands going the same direction. Their faces are always leaning the same way. This was all just a big simulation. A big simulation. You guys got anything you want to add to that, Justin? Nick?
No, I mean, I think you pretty much summed it up, you know.
I'll say that when I first saw those pictures, I got mad.
Which ones?
You know, the ones with, especially that barcode one, the guy that has the barcode in both pictures. It's so obvious, and I never looked at that type of stuff before. I've seen videos, and I've shut them right off.
Yeah.
But this time I gave it a chance, you know?
And you know what? How could that be two different people? Do you really believe that's two different people? Tell me right now, Nick. Do you think that's two different people?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So, if they're lying about that, how many are they lying about? And do you think you can just... I don't know, man. I just think the lie, once it gets to a certain point, you got to be willing to go to that next level and say, hey, maybe it wasn't just the planes that were fake. Maybe there really weren't people in these towers. And then if you scroll down just a little bit more, you'll see pictures of the towers, and you can see clear through them. Now, a lot of people argue that this is when the towers were built in 1972, but they've already got the end caps on the roof. Now, I don't know if usually they would bring concrete up through elevators and fill a building that way, but let's just say they did. Scroll down one more picture. Now, this picture's from 1978, and there's supposed to be companies on those floors that you can see clear through. Canada right. Fitzgerald, Marsh McLennan, there's a whole bunch of them that are supposed to be there, and they're all listed in the occupancy report as being in there for 6 years, and they're not in there. And isn't it funny that those are the same companies that lost 40% of the supposed deaths on 9/11? What?
Right. Also, I want to add, too, Marsh & McLennan was a known CIA front company with one of the directors, I believe, was Henry Kissinger. You know, so just, you know, if you know, as far as you know about that, I mean, really, it just shows it wasn't hard to get them to play ball, you know?
You know, I want to add something to that, guys. I haven't mentioned it yet, but my stepfather was part of one of the teams of architects that helped build this, that helped build the Twin Towers. And he really never spoke much to me about it. But one thing he did say is that there are floors that aren't finished. He didn't use the word empty, but he said there's floors that aren't finished yet. It's too bad I can't question him more, but he's, you know, he will believe whatever he hears on TV and you know,
right.
He really doesn't know. He's in his 70s, so I really can't push him to speak about it. But that's the one thing he did mention. So you guys are right on track with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know that there were many floors that were never done. And for those out there that are new listeners that might be thinking, well, how could they pull off this illusion? It was actually quite simple. Well, I shouldn't say simple. It's quite an intricate plan. But what they would do is they built a subway, and Nick's been on the subway many times, and they have hundreds of thousands of people that get off at the World Trade Center every day during business hours when an office building would be busy. They put an observation deck on the top for tourists. They put a Windows of the World restaurant on the top for tourists. And then they just restrict you from the floors they don't want you going on that aren't finished. And it's that simple.
Like I said earlier, when I was on the elevator in the towers going up to the observation deck, they straight out told you some floors aren't for the public. There's another elevator for that. There's this and that on the floor. They don't use the word empty, but they say, you know, there's construction on that floor or so. They're not used, you know, there's no businesses up there. You know, they'll make some kind of excuse for you. So, you know, I agree with you, Brian.
It's a huge hoax that's been pulled on us, and I'm really glad that you were able to come on tonight and actually give us some information on the ground about a lot of the techniques that we already thought, because we had speculated whether they used smoke grenades, smoke machines, what it looked like, but you didn't see any burning towers or any fire at all. And as a matter of fact, you got within five blocks, and guys, I go to a wrestling show or something, and they blow off a pyro. You feel that in the back of a stadium. If there's this molten lava like Dr. Stephen Jones is showing you, and this 3,000-degree heat, and these buildings are melting, don't you think Nick would have been sweating his ass off five blocks away? Sorry, Nick, we had to cut you out for a second. The audio cut out. Wouldn't you think that Nick would be sweating his ass off from 5 hours away? I mean, I'm 5 blocks away. There'd be so much heat around that area. So much heat.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely would make sense that you would have a, you know, that you would feel from at least a few blocks away.
Oh, you absolutely would. You absolutely would. Justin, can you speak for a minute while I, maybe I upload a couple more pictures for people? Get it? You got anything you want to add? Well, we can take back in the call. I got a couple pictures.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess while we're waiting, I'll just talk a little bit about the PSYOP of it all. Just as far as in the truth movement and stuff, and how they constantly kept you away from any of this information by bringing you on that other, you know, wild goose chase, and yet, you know, these people like Burmese and all these other ones that, you know, probably made you think that anyone that was saying, you know, no planes and, you know, was a nut. And then they had the Nico Houts, the Web Fairy, and all these other people come out and act like nuts. And
the Burmese one. I got to remember to play that later. Thank you. Keep going.
You know, so, I mean, you know, even for me, as far as, you know, I was involved in the truth movement for probably 3 or 4 years at least. And, I've been looking at the images for a lot longer, since 2005. 2005, 2006, after I saw those change. I wouldn't even watch September Clues with an open mind or anything like that until, 2010, because it just, their psyops were that good. And once I realized they were lying about other things, lying about the gold standard, lying about, the Ron Paul stuff, and, it's just like caught on to Alex Jones telling a lot of half-truths. It made me say, well, what if all these other people are gatekeepers too, as far as this goes? And once you realize that the alternative media is like set up just to keep you from learning some things, then it makes it a lot easier to see that all these other things, and not everything, but a lot of these things were definitely withheld on purpose. And I'm one to speak of it because I saw it. It kept me away, and I know it kept other people.
A lot of people don't know about this. I was just explaining this to Lori the other night. A lot of people that are listening right now have no idea. It's good that you're explaining this and how they brought this whole thing out. Like, they actually put people out talking about media fakery and no planes right away, but they made them look totally crazy, so you wouldn't look at it. You know, you just wouldn't look at it. and sorry guys, we're just having a little issue with Nick's phone.
You know, as far as like the Ace Baker, you know, going on Jim Fetzer too and acting like he was gonna shoot himself on air, and that's what, you know, that's where the bad name came from, the no planers, and Nico out, you know, rolling around on the ground, yelling, I'm a no planer, and also starting fights at Ground Zero with the rest of the people. You know, here's the thing is, I mean, this stuff, it's like too late now for a lot of people to understand it, but back then it should have been debated within the whole 9/11 community, but it wasn't, because you had these people pushing against it so much. And you had these other people that were supposedly advocates for it, and they were really sabotaging their own work on purpose.
Well, you have like, people that are so respected in the movement, like Alex Jones, who was the self-proclaimed leader of the Truth Movement, and, you know, he's so dead against, you know, there not being any planes on 9/11, and that's what really woke me up to him. I always had it in the back of my head that, man, I know that there was no planes. I've seen September Clues. I've seen these other videos. How does he not know after 11 years? These guys do know. That's what they're protecting. Because the one thing you guys got to understand, and I say this probably every week, but we have a lot of new listeners tonight. They don't give a damn if you care if it was 19 Arabs and you're scared of them. If you think it was the government killed 3,000 people and you're scared that way. But as long as you don't think it was the media, because once you know it was the media, they can't tell you any more stories like this. There's no more 9/11. There's no more moon hoaxes. There's no more any of that crap. Once you get to this point, you know what I mean? Some other things might not wake you up to everything, but once you realize that they totally manipulated this thing from start to finish, and I'm talking about videos being pre-rendered and everything, all the amateur shots being faked, the whole thing was faked. It's like, how could you believe anything that ever comes out of their mouths ever again? Ever. Ever.
Right, and to also, you know, just to know that they were the perps in this, and notice how deep that really went. Not that it was just one or two reporters that were down there, but the fact that they coordinated, you know, fixed video and everything, then that just, you know, it at that point, you're no longer just, you know, a crooked news agency. Now you're, you know, part of a massive crime and cover-up and conspiracy to start wars and rip up the Constitution and everything else that's been done, you know, since 9/11 under the guise of protecting us from terrorism.
Oh, they used this whole event just as a catalyst to do basically whatever the hell they wanted. Guys, if you go to the blog page that I set up tonight, I just added a new photo in, so you're going to have to refresh it. I put it near the top for you guys. If you go to the blog page right now, and you look below the map of the World Trade Center complex, the second map that we have, I put a picture called the Ben Reisman picture. I want you to look at that for a minute. This is a really good picture to give you an idea of some of the actual media fakery that was going on. It wasn't just, what do I want to say, Broadway style Hollywood stuff on the street like maybe some of the things Nick might have seen, but there's actual just tons of images that they gave us that were just totally CGI. And if you guys don't, you know, I didn't build that much time into this blog today, but if you guys, you know, want to, you know, join our group or whatever, we'll show you this stuff all day long, man, all day long. It's in all their footage. I mean, it's everywhere. But go to that Ben Reisman shot that I just posted, and I'm going to put two more pictures up here that I think very telling. The Ben Reisman shot, you have a tree that just disappears out of the video. The guy takes like two steps forward, there's a tree that was left, and then it's just completely gone in the next shot. And the street light that's down the street, it has a different sign on it than it does in the first video. It has like a sign with text on it instead of a sign with one way. Any of you guys see that in the chat? I don't know. I'm not looking at the chat right now, but it's absolutely ridiculous. And I'll get back to the chat in a minute, guys. I'm just trying to add some more images as we go. Just to give you guys an idea of how deep this whole media fakery thing went, because this this thing was it's pretty crazy how they pulled this off. It really is. There was a lot of fake stuff going on, a lot, and whether, you know, we're talking props or we're talking, you know, different Hollywood techniques, green screen interviews, CGI planes. I mean, that's what was really going on, and that's what the truth movement was trying to keep you from. And if you really just take the time and you have the discernment and you look through the evidence, and some of you people right now I know are wondering and thinking, oh, this is a bunch of bullcrap. Go and compare the amateur footage of all the plane crashes. Of all, they're all different. They don't even have the same trajectories. They don't even look the same coming in. Some of them aren't even in the same color. I mean, how do you explain something like that, Nick? You know what I mean?
When I looked at those pictures, I couldn't believe how different the backgrounds were. That was amazing. And I have to say, I fell for it when it was on TV. I wasn't looking at the backgrounds. You know, I know...
None of us were. You're all looking at the big boom.
Guys, we apologize. That's Nick doesn't have the best microphone, but that's going to happen every once in a while. But, yeah, as we're talking, and as, you know, I'm going to keep adding some more images and referring you guys back to the blogs, but you guys that listen to the show, you know, all the time, you guys have seen plenty of this. You guys that haven't, it's everywhere. I'm telling you, it's not just a couple of pictures. Almost every image that we saw out of 9/11, whether it was from, you know, whatever source, you know, YouTube or FEMA supposedly or whatever. I mean, even before we knew about the victims possibly not being in the towers, we knew there were issues with Ground Zero, didn't we, Justin? I mean, we were looking at all types of photos of Ground Zero. We were studying the debris, and the shadows just weren't matching up. I mean, it looked almost like they would piece different pictures of New York together at different parts of the day. Like idiots, you know what I mean? Like, why not take both pictures at noontime? You could see shadow problems in all the Ground Zero pictures. They're all doctored. They're all doctored photographs. It's all bunk. It's all bullcrap.
Brian, I think I cut out on that last part, right?
Yeah, you did cut out. I was just going on a little bit about the Ground Zero stuff before me and Justin even got into the you know, learning too much about the fake victims. I mean, maybe I should just speak for myself here. Before I learned too much about possibly people not dying that day.
Just say it, Brian. Just say it straight out.
Okay. I always do, okay? I know I'm pretty much 100% sure that nobody died on that day. Unless there was like a bum stuck underneath somewhere sleeping that somebody didn't know about. Like
right.
We talked about or something like that.
Yeah, I mentioned that to Brian. That how much you can cordon off an area in Manhattan. There are people that live, you know, under the subways. That's true. And
yeah, Nick, you're gonna have to call back in on the call in on the other phone. The Skype thing is not working. Let me just tell him to use the house phone. It's clicking way too much right now. It's clicking way too much. If you guys in the chat looked at the Ben Reisman shot yet, it's right underneath the big map of the World Trade Center complex. And just take a look at it. Tell me what you think, honestly. Do you think that's a real video from 9/11? I mean, how can it be? How can it be? Here's Nick right now. We're getting Nick right back on. Nick, you on the house phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Skype thing's not working out so well right now, so let's stick with the house phone.
Okay, I just want to let everybody know that my Skype keeps on cutting out, and also on the house phone, the battery, I need to get a new battery, so if I cut out, I just want to apologize to people, you know, let you know that ahead of time. But,
Not a big deal, Nick.
Yeah, towards the end, I'll hang out in the chat, too, if people want to ask any questions.
Yeah. I was just trying to catch up on the chat a little bit. people were arguing, or not arguing, but discussing whether it was holograms or CGI. Guys, there's a lot of evidence that it was CGI. There wasn't a hologram. There wasn't a hologram that they put over the sky. And I'm not saying that they can't. I think that someday they will do that. You know, they will do that, maybe for a fake UFO invasion or something. But
And I don't think it'll really be too necessary for the fake alien invasion to do it that way when you have television being, you know, so believed and so, you know, they may not have to even do it with holograms. Although, you know, they very well might, you know, especially just over one spot, the main spot, maybe show a hologram. But I don't know. I think for 9/11, I think it's better. I think it's easier just to say that they're, you know, because you'd have to deal with the hologram, like, you know, shutting it off at the right time and everything like that. I think it's safer to say that it was just, you know, and also, you see it drawn into the screen. I don't know. I just think you're better off to say that it was nothing there. You know,
yeah,
that's my.
It's just so much easier. And the way they had the area cordoned off. And how about this guy's first strategy? They closed the ferry or whatever and everything. They had the north blocked off, right, Nick? Think about the path that the second plane took. That gives them a reason to say why nobody saw the second plane, because they were so obstructed, you know what I mean? They planned it perfectly. They also planned it perfectly by hitting the towers at what? 8:46 it was. They hit it at 8:46 before the tourist attractions opened at 9:30, so that gave them no tourists any reason to wonder why they're not allowed to go into the buildings. Well, a plane hit the building, you're not going in, period. That's why we got it blocked off, you know what I mean?
I agree on that. And like I said earlier, I've talked to so many people on Long Island and in the city that say, you know, they know somebody that was told not to come in, you know, and that's another way I would imagine that people, you know, didn't show up for work. I'd love to know how many hundreds or how many thousands were told that.
I bet you it wasn't so many thousands, because they already moved so many people out of those buildings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. You were going over that with me.
Yes, they did. And there's two ways they did that. By not finishing a lot of the floors, as you know they didn't, as we've all gone down the road and researched the hollow towers and everything. We do believe that many of those floors, and I'll put some more pictures up later. I have a ton of pictures of those floors vacated, besides just the ones I put up before with the art students.
I was just going to say that to you, Brian, for the people that might be new to the show tonight, that art student story is really, really good info.
Yeah. Those floors being vacant, I mean, it's such a coincidence that it's the same area that the impact zone is, the same area that the elevators don't go to, you know what I mean? And all they did is they kept a couple companies in there to keep it looking like a building, and those are the people that were told not to come in, and those are the same people that would be in on this plot. And the thing that people have to ask, you know, when people talk about 9/11 is, you guys want to think that this might be some crazy theory or whatever, or, you know, I mean, I don't know what you think of it right now. I mean, I really don't. But, you know, to think that, is it any crazier than thinking that George Bush and Cheney and all these people conspired to kill 3,000 of their own people just to go to war when they didn't need to? They could just lie about it. They could just make it up on TV like they always do. They've been doing this since the Gulf War with the Charles Jaco clip. They were faking an air raid. I have it on the page. If you guys scroll down to the radio page, it's in the comments. You can watch it after. They actually faked an air raid, and they put a gas mask on and everything, and they're standing inside a studio. It makes me mad, you know? I don't know about you guys, but it makes me mad. It makes me really mad.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, obviously.
Really mad. Justin, you cut out a little bit for a second, but...
When you're lied to on a scale of that,
yeah,
you know, that's a different story.
Oh, I'm gonna put two more pictures that I just want people to look at that are just absolutely ridiculous, and I'll tell you guys when to refresh the page. I don't mean to keep doing that. I should have been more prepared and had this page all set up, but honestly, it was a wicked lot of work. I've been talking to Nick all week. I've been trying to get the story straight. Guys, if you look at the
sounds
World
like
Trade
you're slacking to me.
Yeah, I know, definitely, right?
Yeah, Brian put a lot of work into this show tonight.
Yeah, I'm trying, you know, and I'm trying to upload pitches as we go, and I'm talking, and I'm trying to keep you guys talking. How about this, guys? Everybody stick with us. I'm sure everybody needs a bathroom break or whatever. We're going to play a song. Why don't you guys come back and be back in 6 minutes, and we'll be back. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Justin Cook, Brian Stavely, and our guest Nick from Manhattan, actually from Long Island. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I try to do things as professionally as possible, and I forgot to mute my mic, so you heard my conversation with my kid about going to Burger King after, but I apologize about that. Kind of stupid, but it happens. We're just regular guys, that's the type of stuff that happens. Nick, are you here? Justin, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Everybody that's still on the show, I think me and Justin are just, if we have a few questions, we're going to ask Nick, and then maybe we're going to open up the phone lines for you guys to let you guys call in and then ask Nick some questions. I hope you guys would want to do that, you know?
I want to say something real quick. Excuse me.
Sure.
While we were listening to the song, I was reading in the chat, and I want to apologize to Anon5417. I didn't realize, I spoke to Brian about maybe changing some of the music to 60s and 70s music. Forgot about a lot of the backward masking that's in the tunes. So I didn't offend anybody with that. Brian, I don't know if you're aware, but I'm a Christian, and I plugged the show in some of the groups because, you know, a lot of people think because people believe in Jesus and you know, they're Christian, that they're narrow-minded and they're not open to a lot of these things. I have to tell you guys something, that there's a lot of people in the Christian community that are very awake, and so much of what you guys believe line up with what we believe. It's just amazing, and I would hate to miss out on sharing this with my friends who are out there. So, again, you have some other listeners in there tonight, which is great. This thing is growing.
Yeah, it really is growing. It has been lately, and I mean, I hope you can help, you know. I hope you yourself can look into some more of my information. I have some, this is kind of something we threw together because this is like a special thing. This was more geared towards teaching our audience your side of the story that we've been waiting for, you know what I mean? And you brought some new people in, and they probably have a ton of questions, okay? I'll give you some great... You already got the links. You gave them some links earlier in the week, and they heard some of our older shows, right?
Yeah, quite a few of them. I'd say close to a dozen of them listened to the show, and I was commenting back and forth. And I have to thank you, Brian and Justin, for keeping it clean tonight with the swearing and stuff.
I told you, absolutely. That was not going to be a problem at all.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I get passionate too, so we all goof up in that area. But yeah, it's going great tonight. You know, you guys helped me too, because a lot of the stuff you've been showing me, Brian, has helped me figure out what I've seen, you know, to what I've seen that day. Things are starting to make a lot more sense. So I hope I was able to share some information people needed to hear.
No, you've shared a lot, and actually, I know there's still a few more things I'm going to ask you, because, like I told you when we were talking on the phone, I wrote down about 4 or 5 pages of notes so I wouldn't forget things that I wanted to ask you, and I'm not going to go, you know, through all that, but there are, you know, a couple more things I want to get out, and then we're gonna probably, you know, after that, maybe, you know, a quick break, like a 2-minute break, and then we'll come back and open up the phone lines for everybody and everybody in the chat that wants to talk to you. I want to thank you too, Nick, because this has been our biggest show now. We have more listeners tonight than we have ever had, so I appreciate
great.
That.
That's
and,
great.
I just hope that whatever I've done to open your eyes, whatever Justin's done to open your eyes, or other people around here, I hope you take it a little farther and come and look at some more of my information, listen to some more of my shows, because the things we're saying, I mean, Anybody out there can tell you that they're right and they're 100%, and I'm not going to say that. But we're pretty damn we're pretty darn close to this thing, you know? We really are. I mean, yeah, we got like 80 to 90% of this thing figured out. We really do. And if you really decipher it, and you don't listen to the BS, and you don't listen to the people that tell you don't look this way, don't look that way. Guys, I went down so many roads that I knew were wrong, and just because I would have never been here. I wouldn't be here right now if I didn't go down some of the paths that I knew were wrong. Right. Just because they had different evidence that I knew was doctored, and it made me look in different directions.
When it comes down to it, I went the gamut. I went from the thermite to the nukes to, you know, I really wasn't big on the Judy Wood theory, although I did find it odd about the cars thing, and I found it odd about, you know, the spiral thing. But now it's just easy to see the cars were just towed there and probably burnt out. Left, you know, that happens often in New York City. You know, that you think about it, considering they had no license plates, that was enough for me. And then, you know, and then the spiral thing, well, it's CGI. But I never was big into the Woods thing, Judy Wood thing, because I thought it was really, you know, kind of a little bit too much. It makes sense. The simplest thing has been right under our nose the whole time, that most of what we saw was CGI, you know?
Yeah, especially, it was. And it took us a long time to come to that, and we went through a lot of bumpy roads and a lot of, you know, misleading, and it's some really good information, and I'm not here to trash anybody or any form or anything. We went through, you know, some ups and downs, and we went through a lot of really, really, really good research. We went through some rabbit trails, a lot of rabbit trails everywhere, and we've, you know, it's 11 years later, but we're really close now. I mean, some of the stuff here, it's undeniable. You can't look at the plane stuff for a couple of weeks and then come back and say, I think those planes were real. If you guys want to debate that,
hey, Brian, Stephanie has a question. Yeah. She wanted to know that she said there was tanks of some people say there was tanks of gas in the basement of the World Trade Center. Is that true? And if it was true, wouldn't it have exploded when the building fell into them?
I think that was a story they made up to explain explosions.
Let me give my first explanation on it. Most likely, from what we most likely know is true. Even if there was at some point, I'm sure they would have emptied them. So, just like any other controlled demolition, you're not going to have anything there that's going to cause a secondary thing. So, if this was all controlled, then that would be controlled too. And they were probably empty if there was even tanks or, you know, whatever the case may be. What do you think?
I think pretty much along the same lines as you. Anon323, I don't think Hurricane Aaron really fits into the picture at all. I think maybe they Sorry, I had to cut Nick's feed. It got a little crazy again. That whole Hurricane Aaron thing is, you know, that's, you know, part of Judy Wood's theory, but they could have been keeping an eye on it to make sure the smoke blows the right way and it matches the video footage or things like that. And these are the type of things we were trying to figure out, but I don't think it needed to go to that extent because, Nick, right, like you said, the smoke was above your head. And, I mean, they don't need to put smoke grenades 110 stories high and obstruct the whole building. You could just put a smoky area 30 feet high and you're not going to see it. You're not going to see the tops of those buildings.
That's more of what it was like, too. The smoke was street level, and...
And that doesn't make much sense. I mean, it should be a lot higher than that, you would think.
I can't say that it was, you know, you look down and it was just smoke all the way into the sky. I didn't see it, but again, the buildings were down by the time I was in there. It was more like localized, like, well, I mean, just like you said, like a smoke machine type of thing for the streets. I mean, I would think that would be real good for taking pictures and stuff to get to the desired effect they want.
There's another thing. Stephanie brought up the question about the Israelis and whatnot. Definitely, Stephanie, get the picture of, because I've never seen a picture released that the Israelis supposedly had film. And I've never seen anything, you know, the dancing Israelis that were in New Jersey or whatever. You know, I've thought about this, and I have a possible thing that, maybe that was, you know, if this was in fact true, the whole thing, because I've read, you know, police reports about it. Again, it could be a red herring, could be something that's not true, but if it was true, I was thinking it's very possible that they were just doing it just to, because they are so far embedded with it, just to catch them out and have their own copy of the video, you know, of what they're actually seeing, you know, so in other words, of whatever was happening. And New Jersey would be a place where you would obviously probably get one of the only places you would get a clean view of some of this stuff. You know, it makes you wonder as far as the whole dancing Israeli story and everything else, and what was covered. You know, as far as that goes, I'm still a little, I'm not sure exactly. But if you say if there was pictures released, I've never seen any of you, and I've gone through the whole.
Bull crap story that they threw out there just to keep the whole, that just fits their whole agenda, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I would think so. I mean, you know, and here's the thing too, you know, as far as the whole thing, you know, I do think, you know, probably was helped by Mossad or whatever else, but again, you know, it's really just because they've been doing this stuff for a long time. But, you know, as far as a lot of this stuff goes, you might not even really need it, because it's not a real, you know, Mossad does usually real bombings. You know, if you're just having a Hollywood setup, maybe just the Israeli setup to Hollywood is all you need, and type thing for them to know, and, you know, maybe get the message out to their own people. You know, it's very, you know, iffy as far as that goes. I have read the whole police report and everything, though, from that, but.
Lori asked the question. She wanted to. All right, guys, you both here?
Yep, I'm with you.
Yeah, I couldn't just click on Nick. It wouldn't let me drop just him, because there was, like, a little window my way. Sorry about that, Justin. I want to get to Lori's question. Lori wanted to know, Nick. It says, for Nick. Question for Nick. I wonder how he felt about the emptiness of the area, and if that was what he was expected it to be like. What made him decide to leave when he did?
There's really nothing else to do, or nothing else to see. It just was the same thing, you know, for hours and hours.
Yeah.
I expected all those streets to be people, at least people walking away from it, people in the street.
Thousands of them. I mean, hundreds of thousands. Wouldn't there be? Maybe
right.
Not hundreds of thousands. No. But a big number.
I could see him getting the area cleared fairly fast. Let's just say it's you know, 50, 60 people, and then you get another group. I mean, I could see him dribbling out like that, but it wasn't like that. The people I saw were all just hanging out. That's exactly what they were doing, you know. Whether they be stagehands or locals, it was just people just, and they all had the amazed look on their face. We were all, you know, bewildered by the whole thing. You know, I'm curious how many other people who were watching that had any questions, or if they just accepted it, you know, and didn't question anything, because it was really strange. You know, I said before that I didn't see one video camera. All I saw was the lady from the radio station making the, you know, the report about Building 7. And again, she didn't report about what she saw. She reported about what was coming over those headsets. So
really? Yeah. I mean, that just tells you right there. And you were standing where you would have heard Building 7 come down. And I showed you, and, you know, not that I'm on board with everything anybody says, but a lot of the media fakery stuff that Simon Schacht puts out is right, and that World Trade Center 7 video that I sent you just blew your mind, because all the different audio and how loud it was from so far down the street, and you were that far away, you didn't hear any rumbling at all.
Even if I was a little further away, I would hear it. I mean, you definitely would hear something like that. Was it a 47-story building, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, 47-story building. I mean, you'd hear that from at least a mile, I would think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'm exaggerating by saying a mile, because that's an easy number, but, I mean, I would think you would see something like that from that far.
Yeah, I think
I mean, not see it, I mean hear it. I meant to say,
yeah.
I think you would hear it.
And you have to realize I was closer than that. I was a lot closer than a mile away. And I didn't hear anything. All I heard was the report. I didn't question it, though. But I did expect to hear something. I'll say that. You know, I thought I'd see some more traffic or some more things going on, because from where I was standing, all the World Trade Centers were to, you know, one side of me, were further south, right in the little complex. And, you know, there it wasn't like all of a sudden there was more ambulances rushing in. Nothing like that.
You know, there's people talking about missiles and all this other stuff, guys. You know, there's really no need for a missile. All you need, guys, is this Hollywood type act. All they did is, guys, and never mind, you know, all the other theories about how they brought the buildings down. Here's the facts, right? They bring buildings down every week in this country. And they brought those buildings down probably the same way they always bring buildings down, except they did it undercover, under smoke, so people couldn't see it. And they didn't. The reason they didn't show you that on TV is it just wouldn't make any sense. I mean, there was so much, you know, so much came down that I just, you know, the two airplanes made it so much more dramatic, and it gave it somebody to blame it on, and they couldn't show you the real video of it, because taking down all the buildings that really came down just wouldn't make any sense, you know?
You know, a lot of people don't realize it, and I didn't even think about it. I didn't realize it. When you showed me that picture of the other buildings that were damaged by it, it's funny how everything we hear on radio and see on TV is just such a little slice of the news with all BS around it. All I remember hearing is three buildings fell. And there was no man, and those other ones were damaged enough, if those pictures are real, that they had to be demolished.
Yeah.
One big insurance job, the whole thing was, pretty much.
Yeah. You know, I remember reading, I don't know if this is true, you guys can let me know, about the put options that were put on American Airlines, betting that it would, you know, the stock would crash. Are you guys familiar with any of that?
Yeah, of course.
That's an amazing part to it, too.
Well, that's all, you know, that they all had this plan, so they all did what they could to line up their chips, you know what I mean? To put their chips in place and make a bunch of money off it.
I think so many of the things that have gone on, all of, you know, the big world wars and whatever they have planned for us in the near future, has been, I think it's been in the planning stages for hundreds of years. You know, I was reading a little bit of Albert Pike, and you know, he spoke about three world wars, and if you look at it, he'll explain the Christians and the Muslims, and this will be the outcome of it for the third world war, the second world war with the Germans, and, you know, creating Israel. Really interesting stuff, but, you know, if you have an open mind, you realize that this is just one big master plan.
Yeah, we have another question from Lori. She said, did you see on TV before you went there, like, wow, what was going on and all the people running away, and then you got there and it wasn't like that, so you were surprised, or you just heard what had happened and then you went there? That's what happened, right? You heard about it.
I just heard what happened, and my father said to me, don't go in there. And I said to him, no, you know, I won't. Like I said, I called him later on, didn't know I was all right. But no, I didn't watch any TV. I had a doctor's appointment when I was coming out. My dad called me on my cell phone. So I had no preconceived notions. I had no idea.
Just from what your father told you was the only...
Right. All he said...
Guys, just in case, listen, I'm going to post it again, just so you guys have it right here. Here's the blog. Let's look at Nick's map again, because I know some people, like Simone, was asking questions. She got here a little bit late. He answered some of the questions that you're asking already.
Justin, can you hear me?
Yeah, Nick.
Can you call it on the other phone? Can you use your other phone? Because this just isn't working. Does the other one charge enough?
I know. Well, yeah, we'll use the other one for a little bit.
Okay. Next time it goes out, call in on the other one, because the static's killing us.
Okay.
Yes, okay? stay on this one. Give that one another charge.
Stay on
for
this
a few
one,
more
but
minutes.
This is the last shot with this one. Well, that one charges. Then we'll switch phones.
If there's more questions, it's worth me, you know, I don't
want to
sound redundant and saying the same thing over and over. I mean,
no, that's the thing. There is more questions. This is so interesting to us, Nick, that I actually wanted you to just real briefly, if you could, for the people that got here late, if we could just real quickly go down your little route again that you took with the map of where you came in and where you came down and where you eventually stopped. Where you stopped and watched. You don't have to go through the whole, you know, the talking about the Tower 7, the report of the triage center. Just tell us where you got on the subway and where you started walking and about how long that was and why you did that. A few people were asking that.
Sure, I can go over that.
And guys, please, click the link I just put in the chat if he's going to do this for you, because I put a nice map up that you can follow along. Okay, guys, I dropped him.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, I'm right here.
Okay.
Yeah, I can go over it, no problem. I have the map right in front of me.
Yeah, just real fast, you know, coming from the Queensboro Bridge, guys, on the right-hand side of the East River is a green line that says Queensboro Bridge. I got a red circle around it. We're going to call that the start point, I guess, Nick?
Sure, that's fine.
And we'll call the blue line his walking path, and except for that blue line that goes straight across, that's the first barricade that he hopped over, Simone. I'll let you tell it, Nick. You got off the train. You're on the train. What happened?
It would be good if everybody's looking at the map so they can follow along.
Everybody, please. Let's just give it a second. Everybody that's interested. Everybody. I know a lot of people, you said you have it. Here's the link. Click that. The map's right at the top. For those of you that don't know, most people do. I'm not trying to make anybody sound like an idiot. But hold down the control key, hit the plus sign that's right next to your backspace, and that'll zoom that map in. I know that picture doesn't get bigger when you click it. It's kind of hard to read. So just control and then hit the is that called Queensbridge? I don't know. Hold on. It's called, Queensbridge. Yep, the Queensboro Bridge. That's where we're starting, buddy, right there. All right, we're going to start at that red circle, and then the blue line, that's his walking path, okay? And then the first blue line going across, that's the barricade. He'll be calling back in any second. And then we're going to take one more break after that. And then we come back, we're going to take a couple phone calls. And then, maybe wrap it up or, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens. Justin, you're still here, right? Here's Nick. Looks like I lost Justin. Looks like it's just me and you. I don't know what happened to Justin. Let me try and get Justin in the call.
Yeah, I'm right here. If you want to try to call me back on the Skype, that would be good. So I don't know how this battery on the phone. I apologize to everybody. I need to buy a new phone. Why don't I just start this while we have a good connection, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so if everybody's looking at the map, where you see Queensboro Bridge, it's to the right up top, about halfway up. That's where I got on the subway. I crossed over. I went down a couple of blocks, and if you see the line, horizontal, that's where like the first barricade was, and already the streets were dead over there. There was nothing going on, and like I said, I got in there 12:15, something like that. Okay, you could just follow, you know, he showed some zigzags in there of me going in and out. That's basically what I did, because there were like other, you know, little streets blocked off. I forgot to mention that. And as I walked down, you could see it start to get dark, and the streets are just empty. And there was, you know, I walked further. I walked, you know, past New York University, all of that. And I wound up down, I'm actually using the map right now, Broome and Grand, but I know it was West Broadway. But, you know, I'm just trying to place myself on those side streets. But, you know, I was right in that area. And, you know, just to cap it off, no fire. I didn't see injured. I didn't see damaged vehicles. A lot of what you guys have seen on TV, I didn't see. Doesn't mean it wasn't there, but I didn't see it. You know, I could only speak on what I saw. But I think what I saw leaves opens up a lot more questions, even in my mind. You know, still this thing isn't solved. But I think you guys, Brian and Justin, you guys are on to the right. You know, you're on the right track, and you're doing such a great job. Hello? Hello?
Nick, I'm sorry. I was muted for a second.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really don't know. I don't know how else to say anything, but thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. It's stressful work. It's hard work. We often, you know, don't get appreciated for the time that we put in, and I know that you really do, and I hope you take it a little further, and I know you will, because I can tell you're really interested in it. Just from the phone calls we had, I know that me and you are going to be sharing things back and forth. I'll be sending you videos and everything. And I hope some of the people in your group, you know, that you brought over from some of your groups that came over and listened tonight. I know this is the first time some of you heard a lot of this type of information. Some of you might want to write it off. Give it a chance, guys, please, because this is really what you need to look at. At least look at it. You can't call something wrong until you look at it, you know? You just can't. All right, guys, we're going to come back a little quick from the break. We're going to get this wrapped up pretty soon. Nick's going to get out of here and get back in, off to some things. And I want to open up the phone lines right now if anybody has any questions for Nick. You guys get to talk to me and Justin all the time. Anybody want to call in right now, 978-735-2224. Or you can actually just, if you're, you know, friends with us on Skype or whatever, hit us up at The Real News Online. The Real News Online on Skype, or dial 978-735-2224. Nick and Justin, you both here?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Nick, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here with you. I got you.
All right. We'll get this thing wrapped up in a minute here. We'll just see if anybody had any questions for you or any phone calls besides just what people are putting in chat. Guys, I can't keep reading the chat. Why don't you guys call in? Just call in and just, you know, ask Nick on the phone, you know?
Yeah, I'll hang out more minutes if anybody wants to.
Nah. Yeah, we'll hang out a few more minutes. I got to get out of here and feed my kid too and stuff. But what I wanted to say is I just hope that some of the people that you showed this to We'll go a little farther and look into what me and Justin are saying. And a lot of it wasn't said on the show because we just didn't have the time. We've done 5-hour shows on this where we get into the media fakery. We compare the images. We show you different things that are going on that are totally impossible. And, there's other shows for that. I want to thank you for coming on and really being the first person to really put this story out there, because nobody's done it for anybody. I mean, we've been dying to talk to somebody from Manhattan that actually saw what went on that day. And you don't come across as anything but a straight shooter to me. And I've talked to you probably 2 weeks now. And you just, you know, and I just want to say thank you, pretty much.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Brian. You know, I feel like I made a couple of friends out of this, you know, like-minded people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. I'll be hanging around your forum and stuff, and you feel free to give me a ring whenever you like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, and I wanted to say, while we're still on the air, Simone, who is in our group, actually built a new forum for us guys. So we finally got rid of that shitty forum that we had, and we have, if you go to our forums now, it's right at the top of the page, we have a whole new forum set up. It's going to get bigger and bigger. It didn't get finished until yesterday, so I didn't have time to add all the categories and stuff yet, but there are some things in there, and there'll be a lot of relevant threads to 9/11, health information. Anything, any categories.
Anything you want to debate, anything you want to post and talk about,
anything. We're open to anything. And I suggest you guys, you know, obviously we want you guys to check our radio show out every week, Sunday night. For those of you guys that are listening on a podcast or whatever, we're on Sunday night Eastern Time, 10 p.m., and we're broadcast off of therealnewsonline.com. We also have a new forum site. I know you guys have been to our forum before, signed up. It's a different one now, much better forum, and big props to Simone for helping us out on that. I really, really, really appreciate it. And it looks like we might. I just see James Sloan sign, and I wonder if he's wondering to call into the show. But we have a call right now, actually.